But right now, we will rarely do an interview unless they could be on from noon to three. We can count on one hand, right? Times in 20-some years that we've come in off hours to do an interview. It's just not something we feel good about. It's usually not as good. The energy's different. And it's just weird knowing something's not live and it could be edited out or whatever. But there's very few times that I think a guy is, like, worth it. Like, well, you can't get him unless you do this. Come in at 9:30 in the morning or something. Chevy Chase, to me, was one of those guys.
Yeah.
Kind of a hero of mine growing up. He's a legend, right? He's Chevy Chase. And he's going to be in town in a couple of weeks, and I think in this interview we will plug that a bit. So let's just start it. It's kind of a two-part thing. So I hope you enjoy it. I enjoyed it. That's kind of what counts, right? So this is going to be two segments for you, but I got a chance to talk to Chevy Chase last week. And we are airing it for you now here on The Ticket.
I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first.
I am honored to be able to talk to the great Chevy Chase here, previewing his appearance in just a few weeks. It'll be Saturday, December 14th at the Toyota Music Factory, billed as an evening with Chevy Chase and a screening of Christmas Vacation. It sounds awesome. Chevy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. And I was born to lick your face, I guess.
Yes, man.
That just came out. It was all winged right then and there.
That was what I was going to ask. And you know what? I didn't realize, as a huge Caddyshack fan and all that kind of stuff, that that was you playing the piano, and you are, that's your thing, right? You're very good at that.
That's 30 years ago. You should hear me out.
How did that come about? Did Mom force you to take piano lessons, or?
No, really, I was a drummer for quite a while in high school and college, but always drawn to the piano.
You've got a musical ear, right? Can you not? You can hear a song and then just walk to the piano and play it, from what I understand.
I don't know anybody who can actually do that, but I do have perfect pitch, and I do. I did work hard and have been many years now to be a relatively good jazz pianist.
So what was before? I'm kind of wondering what led to Saturday Night Live. Like, you hear a lot about Chevy Chase got his start on Saturday Night Live and then did all the great things that you did, but yeah. Were you doing stand-up? Were you, you were in a band?
I've never done that.
Never.
And I don't care about it. Stand-up comedy. Lorne Michaels, I was living in L.A. writing for the Smothers Brothers or somebody, and he came, and he was auditioning both writers and performers. So I went up to the Chateau Marmont, the hotel that he was in, I don't know, sometime in the morning. And we made it, it was just a miracle. We just loved each other, and I stayed there throughout the day while he auditioned other people. So then, came to, what kind of a show are we doing, and this and that and the other, and the two of us plunged in. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just wanted to let you go and not talk over you. That's a fault of mine. Talking over the guest, and I don't want to do that. How'd you even get to the Smothers Brothers gig, though? So, like, what's high school, college, all that kind of stuff?
Seriously? I was a writer for about 12 years before SNL. I just wrote for various things like Mad Magazine, and National Lampoon, and National Lampoon Radio Hour, and, various things. And it held up, I guess. I don't know what to say. It held up.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. I just never heard anything about your pre-SNL life.
I don't know that it matters, but I don't know what you mean when you say I haven't heard of it. It's just basically you haven't heard of it.
Yeah, well, it's just maybe it's more of interest to me, but you, I got to tell you this, Chevy, you're a huge hero of mine, and to like all the sarcastic, smart-ass generation that grew up around me, you are our leader. You are absolutely a brilliant genius, and I really can't wait. I think I'm going to be on stage with you as you do Q&A for Christmas Vacation, which is, again, I'll give it a little plug, Saturday, December 14th at the Toyota Music Factory. I know you've done some others of these across the nation, so in the Q&A, we can ask you anything.
Be the first one where I really get into it, the Q&A.
Oh, really? This will be the first one.
Wonderful. And I mean, where I really sort of surrender to the whole and get a nerd to the idea of being a movie star, you know, a star. I haven't really had a chance for that in my whole life.
It's an evening with Chevy Chase, and LiveNation.com, I should mention, is where we can get tickets. You and I already have tickets, but for those listening. So your 1 year on SNL, incredible impact, as you look back on it. You invented playing presidents.
What? Have entertained presidents?
You invented portraying presidents on SNL, right? That long tradition?
One.
Right, but you started it.
Gerald Ford.
Mm-hmm. Was wondering also, so you're so awesome
Which
at the
physical... amazing, because I made no attempt to look like him or to sound like him or anything else.
Right.
But I did fall down a lot. You know, and say, no problem, all that stuff. And ended up going to the White House and staying there or with the president, who I really liked. He took me and my wife out for a tour of Grand Rapids. It's not a tour you really want to take, but he was driving. And I just thought he's a sweet, lovely man who shouldn't be president.
So you didn't feel guilty or a little bad about your making him look like a buffoon?
No. Maybe a little, because a book came out around that time about, you know, how things could affect him. But for the most part, he was just terrific, ingenuous, and sweet. And Janie and I were happy.
I went back recently and watched the full sketch between you and Richard Pryor. Which
I wrote that, man.
Oh, really? Which comes?
You bet.
Which boy? Okay, well, you ever hear the phrase "this couldn't air today"?
I've heard that. What does it mean, though?
It means there's no way that gets on TV in 2019. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I'd have to say that the nature of comedy at that time was a lot open, candid, than it is now. You know, Richard and I were great friends, and I wrote that, and he said, yeah, let's do it. Honky. Anyway, you know, in retrospect, looking back, that was so over the line for today's thing, which is political correction. And, you know, it shouldn't have been, but it was. And I love doing it.
Yeah. You need to watch the entire sketch to really get the full feel of it, because they've boiled it down to you saying the N-word, you know, when you see short clips, but the entire sketch is absolutely brilliant, and it builds up to that point, of course. And
you mean I don't understand. You mean that they haven't always played the entire thing, the ending where I say, okay, sorry, take a break for 2 weeks or something?
I don't think they do. I think generally when you're seeing, you know, SNL has been going on for so long now, you'll see like you saying the N-word and him yelling dead honky, and that's about it. But
yeah,
the lead up and yeah, like you said, the exit
that's
is
too bad. By the way,
is very important to the whole thing. It makes it brilliant, and I think in today's, you know, banning of this or we can't have that said, you don't see the full thing, and you just look at that and say, wow, that was just, he just wanted to say the N-word. It
well,
was a lot more than that.
Did not want to say the N-word. I certainly expected reactions, but funny ones that Richard and I laughed at a lot, and I didn't expect anybody to take a sketch of mine and turn it into a three quarters of a sketch of mine.
Right.
But that's the whole thing is different.
Right. That's where we live today, though, with the YouTube and the short clips and whatnot. That's part one, Bob. He finishes eating.
What was he enjoying there?
I think he had some cereal.
Maybe some berries.
He told us he was eating dolphin.
That's right. But he finished, I think, and then I think we ended we ended stronger than we began.
And that's part two?
Yes.
I bet you that would be next on the ticket. 218, it is Sports Radio 1310, the ticket. And it is Dan and Chevy Chase visiting.
So, Sunday, December 14th, excuse me, Saturday, December 14th, at the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory, Chevy is doing a screening. He will the watch Christmas Vacation, and then he's going to do a Q&A thing afterwards. And with any luck, I'm going to be the guy queuing, and he will be A-ing.
Is that, what do you mean with any luck? Is that still?
It's still like my people are talking to their people.
Oh,
and
okay,
all
we're
stuff.
Still.
But I think it's going to happen, but okay. I can't just say it's official.
Okay.
But I hope it is, because I would love it. It'd be great to meet him in person, but I got to talk to him on the phone. You can get tickets at livenation.com if you would like to be a part of that, too.
Okay.
But anyway, they let me talk to Chevy Chase for about 18 minutes the other day. And here's the last eight minutes. I think, like I said, if you listen to the last segment, I think he got done with his bowl of cereal. And we're going to round third and start talking Christmas Vacation and all that kind of stuff. But I love Chevy Chase. He's a hero of mine growing up. And it was a thrill for me to get to talk to him. Here's the end of the interview. Ty Webb, of course, is probably my leader growing up. I always wanted to grow up to be Ty Webb. And I was wondering, as far as, like, I know Fletch was you and written for you and maybe even written by you. But
well, actually, it was written more by me in the sense that I winged it the whole time. I had a director named Michael Ritchie from out of Harvard there, and he was terrific, and I didn't quite know where to go. And he said, look, so long as I hit my mark and the lights and move accordingly, I should say whatever I'm thinking or wanting. And that's what it was. It was fun. And I don't think there's a movie that I've done that's better
than Fletch.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. It's unbelievable. It's so quotable. Ty Webb, how much of that was improv'd or you as well? Like you said, the "I Was Born to Love You" song. I guess you invented that right on the spot.
I'll say it happened at that moment, actually. Literally, I mean, we were following me and what's her name around. In the apartment, and I'd already claimed to be one thing or another thing that wasn't quite exactly on the money. But then when it came to sitting down at the piano, I felt very comfortable because I'm a jazz pianist, and just said whatever came to my mind. It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, it's just the strangest song I've ever heard, but it fit.
And it's been stuck in my head all week when I've been just thinking about talking to you. So I had to play it coming out of the break. So was Clark Griswold also just made for you? They said, here, I got, we've got Chevy Chase. What can we do with him? Or
well,
was that pre-written?
Yeah. I mean, at that time, I was making movies predominantly for Warner Brothers. And it would be a combination of them and myself putting it together, something, and then me and Harold Ramis, the director, sitting and rewriting it over a period of time. And that was the original Vacation. And then the one with Jeremiah Chepchuk, who had a beautiful eye for lighting and continuity. And he and I rewrote Christmas Vacation and did it accordingly.
Was there quite a bit of improv-ing in all of these for you?
Yes. But I think that's important, really. I'm not going to blow my own horn here, but I think you see so many, quote, hit comics who do stand-up. That's it. And because they're laughed at by a shorter audience at the stand-up, quote, a film comes to mind, and somebody, this is not the way it was with me. I always had the feel that I could change anything at the moment to make it funnier.
I guess I'm thinking of the nip in the air scene with the woman, because I've certainly reacted in that way when...
Well, that was, by the way, the first scene we shot.
Oh, really?
It was 5 in the morning at some, I don't remember exactly what building, but... Montgomery Ward, who cares? Anyway, it was 5 in the morning, and the concept was Rusty, my son, who's about to be introduced, is with his dad, who appears to be some kind of pervert or whatever. But, you know, that scene, she didn't even wear underpants. I have to tell you. It was like, oh, that's a nice shock. I used it, you know.
That's awesome. I thought it was genius, too, how you guys dealt with the changing out of the kids.
Well, that was my idea, too, and I hate to tell you, but it seemed to me that when I first started doing the Vacation movies over a period of time, 10 years, 6 years, whatever, that the children should remain the same age.
Right.
And it certainly was the right call in a sense that if they had been like 32 and 28 or something, it wouldn't have worked.
Right. Brilliant. Brilliant all the way through. And you guys pretty much acknowledged it, kind of like right at the beginning of, was it Christmas Vacation or... Maybe it was Vegas Vacation when you sat and said, boy, you guys have changed so much. I don't know.
That was my line.
Yeah, yeah.
I hardly recognize you anymore. That was just to go along with the audience.
That was awesome. So we recently had Beverly D'Angelo on our show, and I'm wondering if you keep in touch with her at all.
All the time. I saw her very recently, in the last week or so at a Comic-Con thing, and... We talk a lot, and right now I'm in upstate New York where we live, but I also have a house out there in L.A. Which I love, and that's where I pretty much go when I'm shooting a picture in L.A., Los Angeles. In any case, Beverly, she still lives out there, and is the funniest woman you'll ever meet. Just great, real great actress.
She is awesome. So the reason we had her on, she called me on my birthday. They booked her for me.
Oh.
And because I lost a bet, and the trivia was somebody asked which movie was Beverly D'Angelo naked in, and I said certainly it was European Vacation because they ended up...
Was it? Oh, no, it was the other one.
It was actually the other one, right?
It was a Vegas Vacation or something.
I think the first one, the first Vacation,
oh, yeah,
when you
right.
you came in with the banana as Psycho.
Yeah, that's right.
Into the showers. And I thought it was the second one because they ended up selling the videotape of you guys, that thing. So anyway.
It's just one of those things.
Anyway, she was awesome. These are brilliant, iconic movies, and they wouldn't be so without you. And I really, really appreciate your time, and I can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks. So let's plug that again, shall we? It's going to be Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait, man. I Irving, Texas. Dan, I'll see you there. Huh?
That's right. December 14th, LiveNation.com. You could see me there, but more importantly, the great Chevy Chase will be there, and we'll do Q&A afterwards. Ask Chevy anything, right? Will there be any holds barred?
No.
No holds barred.
Nothing I'm ashamed of.
All right. Well, Chevy, it's been an absolute pleasure on this side of the table. I hope it wasn't too painful for you. And
No.
Back to breakfast, and thank you very much for your time this morning.
All right, Dan. Thank you.
Hey, Chevy. Well, I forgot to ask for the liner.
Is this real life?
Now we're real life.
Okay.
Now you're you.
Okay.
It's December 3rd.
Are you going to follow up on the liner?
You want to hear me call him back?
Of course.
Because I did. I was in the production room with Mino. This is before the show one day. So, okay, let's call him back.
This is moments later.
Yes, and this is me now, but you're going to hear me. Okay, I'll stop talking. So we have Chevy's number. We'll call him on his birthday.
Was that you?
He's not.
Hello.
Chevy, this is your old friend Dan McDowell from Dallas again.
Hey, Dan, how you been?
I'm so sorry to call you back so soon. I forgot to ask you for one thing.
I'm sorry, too.
Well, you picked up and you knew who was calling, I think. So I wanted to get a radio liner from you, if I could, for our show, and we replay it and stuff. If you would.
What is that, radio liner?
Like, I would like you to identify yourself. You know, like, hi, I'm Chevy Chase, and I never listen to the Bob and Dan show on The Ticket.
All right.
Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Chevy Chase. I want you to know that I never listen to The Ticket. What did you say? The Bob and who?
Bob and Dan show on The Ticket.
Oh, I see. Bob and okay.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yes.
Hi, this is Chevy Chase, and I want you to know that I never see Dan. Hi, God. Never. What is it? Watch? Okay. Hi, this is Chevy Chase. I want you to know that I never watch the Dan and Bob show because it's good for me.
That was brilliant.
All right.
I'm going to say goodbye for real now, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, and it sounds good.
And yes,
I can't stop smiling.
Yes, I do have Chevy Chase's number. So for what that's worth, I...
prove it.
I don't have to. Yeah, I just did. You just heard me call him.
Yeah, I guess
him.
He did. I guess he
and,
did.
And at some point, we will call him again. Maybe when he's turned 77, Bob.
Okay.
As he's currently 76.
Well, that was enjoyable. Little bumper car-y.
Little
eating his cereal while on the air.
If everything in the world was totally smooth... then
there wouldn't be anything rough.
Yeah, you know,
that's right.
You wouldn't know when something was smooth.
There you go.